welcome to each of you this morning. I trust that our hearts are in love with Jesus and that we long to learn from Him, to hear from Him this morning. Our theme this year is God's people working together. And this morning I'd like to think about the aspect of working together in considering one another. This comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. When we work together, it's important for us to consider each other. If you have a job that requires a number of different people to be involved in order to complete it, you have to consider the abilities and the work of each other. It's very important to be effective. We've talked about this. Those of you that work in a factory know that well. If you have too much expectation from one of the people that's on the line and they're not able to perform to that level, you have to consider that. You have to work with that. So it's important for us to ask ourselves some questions. Do you work alone? How many of you work alone? Well, that's kind of a trick question. It may seem like we work alone, but we really don't, do we? When I say work alone, that means you made every tool that you use. You made everything that you're using to make something with. You made the food that you eat. You made the air that you breathe. You work alone. You don't need anybody else. Is any one of us here totally self-sufficient? Is that a possibility? Is it? No. We are not totally self-sufficient. We cannot be. We work together. Whether we like it or not, we depend on other people to make our life possible. Some people try hard to be self-sufficient. They don't want to depend on anybody to supply their food or supply anything for their lives. But, sorry, it's not there. You're not ever going to reach that place. We depend on each other. Now, beings that we depend on each other, we're working together, we have the need to understand some things. And one of the questions that I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself, is how much do I consider other people's lives? How long would you be able to work together with someone without noticing there's something wrong with them? You remember Nehemiah? He worked for the king. And there's something there in that story that always stands out to me, because it's something that I need to learn more. And that is, what did the king ask him one day when he was in front of the king doing his work?
Why are you sad?
Why are you sad? The king was the king. You know, you don't usually think about kings paying too much attention to how people feel. They just have what they want, right? And everybody better be getting it done the way they want it done. But here comes Nehemiah, and the king goes, "Why are you sad? How long would it take me working with someone to notice that they're sad?" I think that's something we need to think about. How much do you influence others in their work? When you're working, How much does what you do help or hinder someone in their work? And along with that, how intent am I on making others successful? When you work, is it all about what you're able to do and getting your job done, or are you interested in helping others to be successful? I think that's an important question for us to ask ourselves. How do my attitudes affect the outcome of the work? I'm sure every one of us has worked with someone that when they showed up, work almost stopped. You know, it's like, ugh. You know, this person is such a drain, their attitudes just make everybody want to quit working. And then there's another person that shows up, and when they show up, man, can you get stuff done? They just have something in them that encourages and that lifts and just gives you energy. And wow, can you get stuff done? Why? What's happening? What's going on here? I'd like for us to go through this scripture of Hebrews 12, and I'd like for us to think about some things. He says, let us consider one another. And he starts out with, let us. Now, if I say, let us, what am I saying? If I come and say, let's do this, let us. Help me? Okay. What all am I saying when I say, let us? Okay. Working together. It's something that involves me, but it's not something that involves just me, right? If I say, let us, some people might come and say, let us, because they want you to do the work, right? That's not what we're talking about. He's saying, let us. And when we look at that term, let us, it tells us two things. It tells us there's personal responsibility. That means each person, right? How many persons are here this morning? Hello? Okay. There's personal responsibility. So if I say, let us, that means you and 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 me personally, right? Or whoever I might name as included in that group of let us. That also includes collective responsibility. Let us. You remember the people back in Babel said, let us make us a name. We'll all get involved in this thing. And when we all work together, they didn't say how happy we'll be. They said how high we will be. And how well known we'll be. And all of that. But it was let us. Let us. Let us. And that's where Paul comes with this scripture to the Hebrew church. He says, let us. We're each involved, and we're all involved. So, I am important, and we all are important when we talk about working together. If one doesn't work, then some work doesn't get done. If none of us work, nothing gets done, right? So we're talking about let us. Secondly, let us consider. Some other words in the King James from this word consider are behold, or to consider, or to discover, to perceive. It has the idea of to give much thought to. This is not something that you just do, you know, just spur of the moment and it's passed by and so on. Well, it's kind of interesting. This is obviously not the same word because it's Hebrew or Greek instead of Hebrew instead of Greek. But when God in the Old Testament was talking to Job, he said, or talking to Satan about Job, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" What was he asking Satan? Was he asking him, "Do you know who he is?" What was he asking him? He'd asking him, "Have you given much thought, taken much notice of who this guy is?" Had Satan taken notice? Absolutely he had. He knew a lot about Job. He paid attention to Job because he was watching him, he was observing him. So Paul is saying to us, let us consider. Let us give thought to this. Let us put this as something that we make a practice of, something that we make part of our time and our experience. So what are we considering? We're considering one another. Let us consider one another. There's a book in our library, church library, that I recommend for everyone to read. It's called One Anothering by Simon Schrock. A number of years ago, we used that as a Bible study Wednesday night. He goes through the Scripture and he talks about all the things that the Scriptures say, do this to one another. This is how we are to respond to one another. But Paul says, look, let us consider one another. Again, this is very personal. Who's the one? When we're saying one another, who is the one? Me. Who's the another? Huh? Who's the another? Okay, others, right? An other. And I am one, and each of you are another, right? So he's saying, look, we need to consider one another. I need to think about you, and you, and you, and you. And you need to think about me and the others as well. He's bringing us a very important point. The other Sunday when I spoke, I referred to the song that is an oldie, by the way. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. And there was a phrase in that song says, his welfare is my concern. That speaks very clearly of this matter of considering one another. Is my welfare your concern? Is your welfare my concern? Do I consider others? Paul says, look, this is important. Let us consider one another. I need to take notice. I need to see, oh, they're sad today. What's happening? Oh, they're happy today. What's happening? You know, considering, thinking about, paying attention to, noticing each other. Now, why is this so important for working together? Why is it important for us to consider one another if we're going to work together? Any clues? Okay, if we're going to be the most effective, we need to understand each other, our capabilities, our gifts, what our inclinations are, a lot of those things. And quite honestly, I believe that one of the reasons that we as a church have been more effective in the last years is because we've focused on each other's gifts. That's considering one another. That's allowing each other to work in a way that's effective and useful. So we need to consider each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, we are laborers together with God. And in this passage, he's talking about how one planted, one watered, one does, you know, different jobs, different responsibilities happen and so on. But he says, we are laborers together with God. So you labor, and you labor, and you labor, and you labor, and we labor together with God. We're working together with God. Have you thought about that when you think about working together? We're laborers together with God. Now, it's not just me laboring with God, working with God. It's not just you working with God. It's us working together with God. Okay? So he's talking about one another. Now, I found something very interesting here. This Greek word is used two times in Scripture, this word provoke. Well, not the word provoke, but the Greek word behind it. Here he says, we need to consider one another so that we can provoke. The only other place that's used is over in Acts with Paul and Barnabas. It says there the contention was so great between them that they split about John Mark. That same word there, contention, is the same word as provoke here. So it's a strong word. You get the idea. He's not just talking about something that's just kind of laid back and happens along the way. He's talking about something very intentional, something very important, something very big, and it can be used in a positive way or a negative way. So we are to provoke. Let us consider one another for the purpose of provoking. Now, there's a lot of us that are really good at that. Right? What happens, Craig? What do we do with this? How does it work? Well, you're nodding your head that a lot of us are really important, familiar with this. So how does this usually work?
When I would dislike what my brother did, I would do something that I knew he didn't like.
How'd you know he didn't like it? You were watching, you were focused, you were thinking, I am going to find something that I know is going to work, right? I'm going to make this guy spit something out. Okay? So provoke is a strong... So he's saying, look, we want to consider one another for the purpose of provoking. Right? And I don't think there's very many of us that aren't good at this. Except that we take it to the wrong side, right? That's what I'll say. Let's see what he says. Oh, there's one another again. Let us consider one another to provoke one another. He brings that in again. And there, I just thought is interesting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, where he's talking about the great work of evangelism. He says, we're workers together with Him. He's talking about God. We're workers together with Him. We're one another. We're working together. Is the work of evangelism, the huge task, the great work of evangelism going to be accomplished if we're provoking in the sense that we're commonly used to? No. It's going to fall flat. In fact, I remember an older gentleman who was in a mission church telling me one time, I asked him, I said, Did you have a lot of interest in the community? Oh, he said, that was never a problem. He said, the problem was the workers couldn't get along. Oh, we're supposed to be workers together with God in the work of evangelism, but we're fighting with each, we're provoking each other in the wrong way, okay? I thought it was interesting too, Romans 8:28 says that all things work together. Well, here's things working together, but people just can't seem to get into this act. So let us consider one another to provoke one another to love. Oh, wow. How am I going to do this? How am I going to provoke you and you provoke me to love? How's that work? Okay. By loving. So we're just gonna go start giving everybody hugs and everything's gonna be hunky dory, right?
I believe it means to stir up.
At what?
To stir up.
To stir up, okay. We need to stir each other up to love. Now how's that gonna, okay, he says, let us consider one another to provoke to love. Now, how would you say that just in a real simple form? Okay, we're going to observe each other and look at what trips their trigger toward love, right? We have the five love languages. And some things like that we notice our children or our spouse or whoever responds to certain love language. What does that take to figure that out? To read the book and understand everything? What's it take to understand what a person's love language is? Time. Observation. We have to pay attention, don't we? And the reason, as parents, the reason it's easy to pick up on that is because we see how our children respond. This one likes quality time. This one likes gifts. This one likes words of affirmation. You know, and so we pick up on that. How many have any clue about, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, I'm just asking this as a question. How many have any clue about anyone else in the congregation outside of your family, what their love language might be? How you can provoke them to love. I'm not asking this to put you on a guilt trip. I'm asking this because I want us to consider one another so that we can provoke to love. You know, we just don't take the time, do we? We're busy. We got our stuff to do. We got our work to do. I got to get up here and preach, man. I don't have time to pay attention to what your love language is or how to provoke you to love. Well, I got to have a Sunday school class. I got to clean the church. We're all busy with a lot of stuff, and that's important. But if we don't consider one another, all this stuff that's happening is going to fall apart at some point, right? So it's important for us. Love begets love. But we've got to take some time and some effort, and we've got to stay focused and consider, what is there in this person's life that's really meaningful? Our group of encouragers does well at this. You know, they speak into our lives and say, you know, we're encouraged and we want to encourage you in what you're doing. And those things are important. But it's something that each and every one of us have a responsibility. Who'd he say? Let us. And the inference is all. Let us all. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. So there's two things that are legitimate for you to provoke somebody in. In fact, they're encouraged by God Himself. You need to provoke your fellow workers to love and to good works. Good works are important. Matthew tells us that God planned that we should walk in good works so that He is glorified, so His name is made great. That was God's plan. Do we do that naturally? Do we just all overflow with good works and that's never a problem? No, we need encouragement in it, don't we? And if we pay attention to one another, we're able to encourage each other. Now, those of you with children know that children have different personalities. One of them, all you have to do is say, "You did an awesome job." And they will work 10 times as hard the next time trying to do it better. But you take another one, you can say the same thing to them, and they just say thanks. And they're happy. They're done. They're not going to work any harder. In fact, they might not even want to do it the next time. So that you have to find another way. Maybe you have to reward them with some extra privileges or something. But we know that there's variation there. But how much do we pay attention to each other and notice what it takes to encourage that person to increase their good works? To be involved in good works and glorifying God. So there's two things. We have not only the right, not only the opportunity, but the responsibility, according to what God says to us in His Word, to provoke each other to love and to good works. Now just imagine just a little bit. And again, I'm not being critical at all. I want to bless you for the love that you show and the good works that you do. I'm not being critical in this at all. But I want you to imagine what could happen if we as a congregation took this scripture literally, applied it to our lives, paid attention to one another, and began to intentionally provoke each other to love and to good works. What do you think might happen? Just use your imagination and think about that a little bit. You go into the book of Revelation and you begin to read about some of those churches, and some of those churches were known far and wide for some of these things, for their love, for their good works. You know why? Because they were doing this. They were considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So I want to challenge us this morning with this and to have us think about, consider one another, how important this is in this whole thing of working together. If we are going to be an effective tool as a congregation in lifting up the name of God, in working together, in representing God in our world, then this is something that we've got to pay close attention to. And it's going to, if we put it to work, it's going to work. Because it's God's truth. So I'd like to challenge us with that. Consider one another in this whole area of working together. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for what you've given us from your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you, Lord, that this is very personal and very real. It's for each of us. None are exempt, none are too little, none are too big, none are too old, none are too young, none are too busy, none are too unbusy. We all have this responsibility and opportunity. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us compassion. Give us understanding so that we may consider one another and that we may provoke one another to love and to good works. And God, I just pray that in the days to come that you lay specific areas or specific persons upon our hearts, Lord, that we might fulfill this responsibility, that your name might be made great. We'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.